On this month's Over the Fence, Duke Nukem's releasing on time. Or not. Gearbox, the makers of Borderlands, are having an event on June 11th announcing something. What could it be? Homophobes try to bend BioWare to their will. BioWare refuses. PlayStation Network and Sony Online Entertainment down for more than 3 weeks. Nintendo announces a successor to the Wii. We love Portal 2. Rage will come out with the SDK and much more. Welcome to Over the Fence, a podcast where gamers of the adventure persuasion come together and discuss the current state of the gaming, tech, and entertainment world. I'm David, and with me are John.
Hey.
Chad.
Howdy.
And Wing.
Heyo!
Wing has been playing Borderlands.
Yeah, if you couldn't tell.
Oh, we could tell.
You so, knew them. It was
big
coming
news.
Out on time.
Nope.
Yeah, now it's not.
It's coming out on time later than it was coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Can it really be on time, or is it on time? Because they have set a release date.
Hasn't the ship sailed on the whole on time thing by now, really? I mean,
we're into temporal mechanics here when it comes to this game.
I suppose, yeah. It's of course, so, the Duke Nukem Forever is no longer the joke. Now the joke is episode 3.
It's almost...
Yeah.
I've seen the multiplayer maps where they show a bunch of Dukes running around the kitchen. They're miniature Dukes. Have you seen that?
Oh, Duke match. I never got the chance to play Duke match on the original Duke Nukem.
So I don't know.
Duke Nukem 3.
Borderlands has really cemented my belief in Gearbox's ability to put out solid games, so I have high hopes for this one.
And they did do the expansion packs for the original Half-Life, so those were pretty good.
The Opposing Force and what have you?
Opposing Force, Blue Shift.
I never actually played those. I have them, but I haven't played them.
They're good.
Okay. when's Black Mesa out?
That was a joke.
When it's done. When it's done.
So, speaking about, talk about Gearbox, they're having an event on June 11th, which, you know, today is May 11th, so we have a little time. And supposedly a big announcement is coming. What do we think the big announcement is going to be?
No idea.
Haven't a clue.
The big announcement is going to be a Duke Nukem Borderlands crossover. That would be awesome. Admit it.
Duke Nukem should be a boss in Borderlands.
But then that would make the game unwinnable.
Possibly. Or maybe he just gets tired of fighting. Alright, fine. Well, I'm hoping that the big announcement is the Borderlands 2. There was a news story about somebody who worked on a potential UI enhancement for Borderlands 2, putting it on his website, resume, whatever. And I forget the gentleman at Gearbox, but he says that he doesn't remember the guy's name. They said they had some freelancers doing some work, which they ultimately didn't go with. Or did they?
Dun, dun, dun.
In any case, I'm hoping it's a Borderlands 2 teaser. But if you are familiar with the history of Borderlands 1, it was announced a couple of times, and it looked different in many of the scenarios where it was announced in.
Kind of the same situation we had with Team Fortress 2.
I wasn't aware of Team Fortress 2 until it was announced with the Orange Box.
Yeah, it was kind of...
Oh, it had a long history. 9 years of dev time.
9 years? It was really that long?
Yes.
Yeah. So, well, after a certain point, it gets reset, you know. So that's...
Yeah, they built, like, 5 different versions of Team Fortress 2.
Yeah, I would... Uru had a similar thing.
No, we're not going into that.
No. That's for another podcast.
Wait. Splinter Cell had a similar thing.
There, that's better.
They were going to do an Assassin's Creed blend with the crowd type of deal. And then they decided, nope, this is not working. And they did a complete reset.
Well, weren't they, like, Duke Nukem Forever was supposed to be coming out, like, since 11 years ago? I mean, like, they were working on it.
I actually don't know the amounts, but...
No, that would be way too far back.
Maybe.
98, I think it was.
Which engine is Duke Nukem on?
I think it's on Unreal. I'm not entirely sure. Don't quote me on that.
Well, it sounds right.
I know, the images I've seen of it looked Doom 3-ish, but, you know, it's hard to tell.
Yeah, I haven't seen any really good images of it, so... I couldn't say.
If it was... they would have to be using id Tech 4 because id Tech 5 isn't out yet.
That's what I was assuming was id Tech 4, which means at some point they reset the development cycle, and that's when they ended up with that engine.
Or but, it could be Unreal. Who knows? We'd need to see the
real thing. Oh yes, I went there.
Unreal id Tech Source 9000.
And one.
1.0, yeah.
The movie.
Coming to a Giga screen near you.
The movie video game.
Speaking of movies and video games, everyone's favorite Blu-ray player has been having a rough time.
Actually, that's a great segue. Skipping one of the bullet points.
Damn it. The strikeout in the first part messed me up.
I'm sorry. I didn't do the strikeout.
It was so perfect, and now it doesn't work.
Curses!
I was trying to find like a perverted way of like getting us onto the straight male gamer thing, and you guys just weren't giving it to me. I'm sorry.
Well, sorry, we're not perverted like you.
Well, practice maybe you makes guys pervert.
Insert straight Wendell here.
So, BioWare, who we all love, who makes awesome games like Mass Effect, Mass Effect 2, the upcoming The Old Republic MMO, Mass Effect 3 this Christmas, delayed past this Christmas, that makes me sad. They have been beset by a straight male who wants the gay content taken out of the games.
Shock and horror!
He doesn't want his little straight male character to be hit on by other male characters in the game.
So don't play the game.
I'm just like, rebuff the advances.
Yeah.
Hey, doing something later? Leave me alone. You know, done.
Not interested.
It's that far. I'm like,
you do have the option. It's right there.
The way he makes it sound, it's like, you know, the guy's got his hands all the way down his pants before he even gets a chance to respond. I'm like, that's not quite that bad.
This isn't the entirety, but it's gives you a pretty good idea of what he said. To summarize, in the case of Dragon Age 2, BioWare neglected their main demographic, the straight male gamer. I don't think many would argue with the fact that the overwhelming majority of RPG gamers are indeed straight and male. Sure, there are a substantial amount of women who play video games, but they're usually gamers who play games like Sims rather than games like Dragon Age. That's not to say there isn't a significant number of women who play Dragon Age and that BioWare should forego the option of playing as a woman altogether. There should have been much more focus on making sure us male gamers were happy. Now, immediately, I'm sure that some male gamers are going to be like, "You don't speak for me, I love Dragon Age 2!" But you have to understand, the straight male gamer cannot be just lumped into a single category. It's ridiculous that I even have to use a term like straight male gamer when in the past I would only have to say fans. The irony and stupidity speaks for itself.
Yeah.
Well, the BioWare expertly rebuffed him. Like, you can't decide that you speak for a demographic, you know, unless somebody has elected you, which I'm sure nobody did.
Mm-hmm.
And their whole point is we're trying to reach as wide an audience as we can. And we are not going to exclude somebody to benefit somebody else. Which, that's the thing I've never understood is similar, like the same concept like the when games cross over platforms on the consoles. Like, people on the PlayStation are complaining when Final Fantasy hit the Xbox. I'm like, do you have an Xbox? No. Well, what is the problem? Is it not coming to the PlayStation 3? Why are you complaining?
Well,
nobody's taking away your toys.
They probably thought it was going to go the way Kingdom Hearts did, which was jump, 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 jump. I mean, that game has gone to I don't know how many handhelds.
No, I can assure you, it had nothing to do with that. It has only to do with the fact that they saw an exclusive that was one feather out of their hat being taken away and being given to the enemy. That's all they cared about.
Well, that was the main reason, but that other...
The whole point of this here is that people will complain that their exclusivity is being taken away so that other people can also have something to enjoy. When, even though it's no longer exclusive, it's not like there's actually anything being taken away from them. It's just they're no longer the sole focus of attention anymore.
Well, in the same point, BioWare said, this demographic, the quote-unquote straight male gamer, is so used to being catered to, they see the lack of catering as an imbalance. They don't see anything wrong with having things set up to suit them. What's all the fuss about? That's the way it should be. And everyone else should just be used to not getting what they want. That's essentially the point that you know, the straight male gamer was making. And that's the same thing that I see. I don't understand. Why does somebody else have to be excluded for you to be happy?
Yeah, I don't get that either.
That's the way it's always been, is the thing.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. But yeah, I just like that BioWare basically said, we're going to be open-minded if we want. Fuck you.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. We politely request that you stuff it.
Yes, they definitely went about it in a much nicer way. As far
which
as
is, which is good. I like that they didn't just go out and grill him. Like,
well, yeah, the way that they did it, they did in style. So you know, extra points there.
Yeah,
there's a way to rebuff people expertly. You can condescend them and still not have to result to, you know, fuck you, stupid. when Crysis 2 came out, there was somebody made a video about Crysis 2 to tell everyone that he didn't like it. And he just sit there and just made faces and swore at it. I was like, wow, this is like 2 minutes of my life I'll never get back.
And he's trying to be the angry video game nerd and it's not working.
Well, a couple of posts later, this one guy said, you know, this is an actual review and this is by somebody funny and British and you like it. And I did. I forget the guy's name, but he was really even-handed with it. You know, maybe it'll patch, will fix it, because it seems like every game that comes out multiplayer always has like issues out the gate. But in any case, I like a balanced review that, you know, somebody actually gives me something to think about instead of like, this is shit. Such a waste of time.
Might have been Yahtzee.
Yeah, because it's like, you know.
No, it wasn't Yahtzee. I would know if it was Yahtzee.
Like, they don't even say why.
They just say it is.
It's like, you know, maybe the reason that they don't like it would be, you know, something that doesn't matter to me or you.
Well, Yahtzee has this theory that, like, you know, all these people who always change complain about things changing, he just kind of has this shut up and get a life thing because... you know, the point of sequels and games that move on is that, you know, they change and they move and they leap off the platform that was created by the first game. And that's the way it should be, that kind of thing. And I have the same perspective. I mean, it's an argument you can link. I forget the website, but there's a concept of they changed it all and now it sucks. Perspective.
They changed it, now it sucks. I think that's an official trope on TV Tropes.
Yeah, that's what
it is. By the way,
TV Tropes.
I'm just going to warn our listenership, don't go there. You will waste an entire day, maybe more.
Yeah, because every article has links to other articles, and before you know it, like, where did 3 hours of my life just go?
Oh, then you should definitely go there, yeah.
But the whole point is that the concept that, you know, something changes and therefore it sucks just kills me.
It's something that a lot of people do, and you can look at history, and it's something that is just common throughout history, is people are resistant to change. And
well, resistance is futile.
It is. And it's kind of funny, because the only constant is change, but people continue to try to fight it.
No. Gravity's a constant.
Oh!
Decay is a constant.
Actually, gravity changes with the mass of an object.
What is this, Portal? It's fun.
So moving on from one topic of complaint to another, PlayStation Network has been having an awful rough time.
Oh,
in that it's not there.
Yes, so, awfully rough.
Yeah, hasn't it almost been a month now since it went down?
Yeah, it's been over 2 weeks.
Yeah, it was April 20th when it went down.
Yeah. The day after Portal 2 came out.
Mm-hmm.
So if you didn't get that co-op Portal 2 stuff in the first day, well, and your PlayStation player, well, at least you got a PC copy you can use.
There you go.
Welcome to the fold.
So there's a lot of information swirling around the PlayStation outage. Maybe it's anonymous, maybe it's not. Maybe it's a splinter group of anonymous. Maybe it's just unknown hackers that Anonymous happens to know. Anonymous is not a definitive collective, so it's hard to speak for any kind of facts on that front. There's a lot of things that are kind of grasping at straws. One security firm says that no network is safer than PlayStation Network. You know, no one is actually safe. But it's kind of, you know, being that they're in the business of providing security solutions, it really isn't in their best interest to not tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of take that with a grain of salt. I'm not saying Sony was completely unsecure, but I don't know how much of the information that's come out about, you know, the databases being encrypted or not being encrypted is truthful or completely factual.
Something I read said that the Apache network that they were using for that was like 3 or 4 months out of date.
Yeah, if you weren't the server admin, it's hard to, you know, I take
true,
that
but yeah, it's kind of like everybody's kind of trying to dig up information about it, but because Sony isn't saying jack, nobody knows anything.
One of the places and I can't say for sure if this is useful at all. There's a blog post by GeoHots, which was, you know, supposedly the big scandal. Actually, there's a particular website that points the finger completely at him. He hacked the PlayStation, therefore PlayStation Network is down. Like, those two things are related.
Yeah, he hacked the hardware. He didn't touch the software.
He stole my car, therefore Chevrolet is shut down. It's his fault. His point is that Sony kind of relied too much on their security in the console because it was quote-unquote unhackable. I don't know if that's the truth. Again, if the databases were, you know, not encrypted or whatever, I don't know if that all that is factual. But if
I've
that
heard
is
that
so,
they were heavily hashed, and that while the hackers did get a hold of them, they weren't able to actually unencrypt them.
And well, that's the ones that were once you've got the data, that's just a matter of time. You can brute force that.
A matter of time, yeah. But
yeah, I mean doing it while it's on the server is the problem. But once you've got the data, you know, it's just a matter of time.
What Sony actually specifies is not very much. And to quote their actual site, which is one of the only actual official posted sources, and this is also basically what they emailed people because I got one of the emails. Stolen information includes, to the extent you provided it to us, the following: name, address, city, state, zip, and country, email address, gender, birth date, phone number, login name, and hashed password.
And David is a boy, just so you know.
Yes.
Although some of his customers
are unclear. As hard as it may seem to believe.
Although some of his customers are not convinced.
Some.
The theory a couple of our staffers were operating under is that the PlayStation outage is going to be a small blip. When it comes back, everyone's going to kind of forget about it, and that'll be that. If it was down for a week, yeah, maybe that's so. Now that we're like looking at maybe the end of May at the earliest that it'll come back up.
I don't know. Some sources are saying at the earliest. Some are saying at the latest. So.
Well, yeah, they're saying they said they were just going
to
happen in May.
House of Representatives did call a hearing, which Sony declined to be represented at, but they did call hearings, so that's kind of big.
Yeah.
They did reply to some questions made by the Congress, though.
My point is not that there is or is not going to be, you know, the service returning at a particular time. My point is this is not going to be a small thing when everything shakes out.
Oh, no, this is going to be remembered for a while.
And this is going to...
In the total of accounts that were potentially compromised, they said is upwards of 100 million total if you combine the PlayStation Network and Sony Online databases.
Oh, and I just got my PIN for my new card today. And it's 34... Oh, wait.
No, go ahead and finish. Let the world
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's the same combination I have on my luggage.
So Capcom, who I don't know how they're hurting by this, but Capcom says they're losing money hand over fist on this right now.
Well, how is that possible? Are they involved in the PSN network?
You know, are they the development house for any of the major releases that just came out?
Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
Did it just come out?
I think it's fairly recent, yeah.
Yeah, I know that the developers behind SOCOM 4 are really kind of hurting because the game is kind of focused on multiplayer, which is unavailable at the moment.
What I find curious about the whole thing is that everyone seems to blame Sony rather than the hackers. Everyone is upset at Sony. Mm-hmm. Sony's fault. Sony is wrongdoing. How is Sony going to make this up to me instead of, oh, they should catch these people, they should put them to justice? Why?
I'm kind of mad at Dolph.
It's yeah.
Because I mean, obviously there was some kind of failing there to have that much information compromised, and then
you know, Well, you know, I understand that perspective.
They don't even tell anyone about it until days after it happened.
Yeah, but you can be hacked and, you know, there's just nothing. It's sort of like, you know, the customers that I deal with who say, how did I get infected? I had antivirus. I'm like, well, your car can be locked and it can still be stolen.
Yeah.
But the point is disclosure and the point of disclosure. Like LastPass, one of the major password houses out there that allow you to have like an individual password for everything you log into once you create a master password, they were hacked. And they told the customers immediately, like, we don't know all the facts thus far, but change your password now.
Right. And
that's the kind of like Sony should have said, you know, we don't know how big the extent of the damage is, but if you're going to cancel your card, now would be the time.
Right. And that was my point is, you know, not so much that they got hacked, but that they got hacked and then they didn't tell anybody about it until days after. And then for Sony Online, which is the part that affects me personally, they didn't tell anyone until a week and a half after the attacks, which were...
I just want to know who needs to commit seppuku for me.
First of all, what is seppuku?
It's a ritualistic form of suicide classically associated with the samurai in which you disembowel yourself with your own sword. And it's a way to restore all
okay,
this.
Now, thank you.
But yes.
Now you know.
You just need to know what it is.
So, yeah, that's why I'm pissed at Sony, is not because they got hacked, but because they could have been much more timely in their information handling. And they still haven't said a whole heck of a lot. But
yeah, well,
beyond
maybe
that, I'm just pissed at the hackers because they're stealing shit.
well, here's the ramifications this might have on us. You know how maybe you don't. I don't know. I don't think any of you have consoles, do you? The usual thing with consoles, you buy a game console, you get the disc of the game, and you stick the disc in, and you can play. End of story.
Mm-hmm.
All the developers and the manufacturers are talking about DRM, including online activation and key codes that you have to type in, which is not so bad on a PC when we're talking like you have a full keyboard in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
It is a little worse on consoles when like you don't have a keyboard, you just have an analog stick moving a cursor over a, you know, artificial keyboard on screen.
It's like through the entire alphabet and 10 digits and the Greek
alphabet. My response
alphabet
there is worth
special characters.
I don't mind the online activation, although I think they'll follow in their store there if they do that. But the key login thing, like, why not just, I mean, I know this is harder for them, but make the discs individualized.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's harder for them, but like, well, that's what you're doing to the customer, making it harder for the customer, make it harder for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But in any case, on both sides of the water in this one, the Xbox and PlayStation, they're talking about a move to a more strict DRM situation based on how hackers and pirateers have gotten through a lot of the holes. And I don't know how that's all going to play out, but you know, us PC folks have been dealing with it forever. Mm-hmm. Kind of like, welcome to the club.
Yeah. Pretty much. We still can run stuff better than you because we can upgrade our hardware.
Well, that and also Steam, the keys, you don't have to know them because most of the time the game installs with the key. You know, you don't have to like type it in.
Well, it even has the whole copy to clipboard button on the thing when it pops up.
Yeah, but some of them don't even need a key.
Mm-hmm.
Borderlands doesn't have a key, but it does activate.
Mm. I needed the Cerberus key for Mass Effect. I think it was either the Cerberus key or the Mass Effect key, but I didn't need both, even though it came with both.
Yeah, it just needed the one that gets you the extra content. Mm-hmm. But in a case,
you know, on the note of consoles, Nintendo is coming out with their Wii replacement,
which I'm surprised.
It's rumored to be under the development name of Project Cafe.
So now we're all going to be playing in cafes again.
Great.
As if cyber cafes hadn't given us enough of a headache already. But no, that's probably not what it means.
Nah.
So there's been all kind of information swirling around, like maybe the hardware is going to be competitive with the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox 360.
They have
that one.
In all likelihood, it will be HD capable, mainly because, in the words of Satoru Iwata, everyone's doing it. It's everywhere.
You know, I'm surprised it took them this long to realize that.
I was shocked when the Wii first came out, how it was just a tiny step above the GameCube.
Well, the thing about Nintendo is you have to realize they don't think like Sony or Microsoft.
Everybody realizes that.
Well, yeah, nowadays, I mean, really. But, you know, honestly, I think Nintendo has shot themselves in the foot in the past.
Well, if you look at the computer industry throughout the years, some of the more hated memory standards that came out was RDRAM that was bolted to the first Pentium 4s. You could only use RDRAM. It was very expensive. Guess what kind of RAM the N64 used?
Oh, RD?
Yeah, interesting, huh? So they were trying to be bleeding edge up until, I think, somewhere until after the GameCube. I mean, the GameCube, they aimed at a certain level of quality. But the Wii, it's just like they're like, we're going to make it about the innovation and the games and less about the graphics. I'm not against that concept. Like, I hear about the articles that say things like, you know, the Old Republic is costing $80 million to develop. Well, okay, maybe games don't need to cost quite that much. I mean, there are blockbuster movies that don't cost that much, you know, so it's just...
The original Indiana Jones trilogy movies cost that much.
Yeah, so it's like, that's a lot of money, and it's just like, maybe we don't need to push quite that hard.
Yeah, so what's been confirmed so far is that it is a successor to the Wii, and that it is going to be HD capable. Now let's talk rumors. What's everyone heard?
It's supposedly supposed to have touch screens in its controllers, and what was that other feature?
Tactile feedback?
Yeah.
Supposedly you are going to be able to feel what's actually on the touch screen. Like, if you were drawing in sand in The Legend of Zelda, you would actually feel sand.
Unless it's really, really well done and really, really innovative, I don't know that that's going to be a big deal. I've had a lot of tactile feedback devices in my hands in my life, and it just, I don't think any of them are really all that impressive. Like, it's like, oh, it's just like being there. I mean, it's like they're trying to tear down the fourth wall and you know, put you more into the game. And I understand that pursuit, but I'm just not sure that they're going to achieve it. And if it's not as innovative as the Wii's motion controls were, it could be another, what do you call it, Virtual Boy.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, God, don't remind me.
I feel sorry for anyone who put that on for more than 10 seconds. I really do.
As soon as I put it on, I tried it out. It was that Blockbuster. I was like, it's all red.
I mean, of all the spectrums in the color range, red, really?
Yeah, it's the cheapest LED to produce.
Well, that's beside the point.
No, it's completely the point.
Okay, if you want to have a red glaring seizure, be my guest. Well,
how is the 3DS doing, or is it not out yet?
The 3DS...
it's been quoted as having a smooth start. It didn't quite meet their goals, but it still did relatively well.
You know what? I always love those pictures they show of... I can't remember the guy's name. The guy behind Nintendo...
Which president? Nintendo of America or Nintendo?
The one we always see the picture of.
Either president of Nintendo, Satoru Iwata, or the genius behind everything, Shigeru Miyamoto.
Miyamoto, yeah. They show pictures of him like holding things like the DS or whatever, or the Wii, and they're both laughing, and it's photoshopped, and you see like money coming out, like, ah, prints money! Hi, prints more money!
It stopped printing money.
And I feel like that was only going to go so far. And when I heard about the 3DS, and I don't know, they talk about, like, you know, kids of a certain age shouldn't play it because it's bad for their eyes or whatever.
Well, it is. It really is. In fact, the 3D, you have to hold it at a certain angle. And if you twitch it by like 1 inch or something, it has to refocus. So yeah, in essence, that is the most hideous eye strain you're going to get in your life.
Except for red seizure.
Yeah, except the virtual boy was much worse.
Much worse.
But if the kids, if there's any kind of like eye damage from the device, you know, class action lawsuit.
It's no, not that it would damage them. It's that it would just cause them to develop form. You see, the thing was that, you know, in the formative years of childhood, say 2 to 4 years, you know, their eyesight is still developing, so they shouldn't use it. If you're 2 to 4 years old, you're going to barely know how to use something like that. Like, I was barely figuring out the NES at that age.
Yeah, well.
6 years is what's recommended as the minimum, but that's, I think, Nintendo just.
I thought it was seven.
I heard it was six. What? I've also heard about the new Nintendo's new console that it might have Blu-ray capability.
It wouldn't surprise me.
That would be interesting, yeah, because there was a lot of confusion as to why it didn't have DVD player capabilities when it came out, the original Wii, that is.
Well, like I said, Nintendo doesn't think like Sony and Microsoft. They're always trying to be randomly innovative or try something that's been tried and
Now that Blu-rays tend to be released around the price of what DVDs used to cost, you know, it makes more sense now. You know, the teething pain years of Blu-ray, you know, the last 3-4 years where, you know, a new Blu-ray movie was $30-some-odd. And
you know, I always thought that was funny when Blu-ray players first came out. No one was buying anything because the idiots in marketing thought that people would be able to pay through their teeth for DVDs that were, like, at ridiculously high prices.
Well, to me, the appeal of Blu-ray players is actually, I mean, if you look at Blu-ray player hardware these days, and I'm not talking about the consoles, I can't vouch for what Nintendo might or might not put in there, but a Blu-ray player has, you know, these functions on almost all models now these days. They have DLNA, which supports, you know, streaming of your content from your PC, Netflix, the ability to upscale DVDs as well as play Blu-rays. So with all that present, you know, the PlayStation 3 is an example. It has all that.
Or at least
it's actually quite a media powerhouse on top of the fact that it's a console. So Xbox has all of that except for the Blu-ray.
Yeah.
But they bet on the HD DVD pony. And I never saw them side by side to say, you know, one is better or worse than the other. But I just
one
remember
better
once
than the other, because the other one's dead.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, my whole problem with the Microsoft, they make a lot of bad decisions, and one of them was like, you can get this HD DVD drive, and it's external. I'm like, what? I don't want an external drive. It should be built into the damn console. And furthermore, we should be able to have that so you could take advantage of the storage space. But, you know, it's one of those things that they were too busy getting the Xbox 360 out to market before the PlayStation 3. So what's nice about where Nintendo's at is there's a lot of
answer your phone.
There's a lot of precedents already made where the Blu-ray has kind of, the dust has settled. You can get a Blu-ray player with all these functions for $150. You know, I mean, all the stuff I just talked about, like the Netflix and DLNA, a lot of TVs today come with that functionality in. So it probably isn't going to cost Nintendo that much to add all that functionality. The Blu-ray is the only place that I kind of am a little iffy about. Not because you know, I don't like Blu-ray, but because I know that Blu-ray discs have a lot more data on there.
Mm-hmm.
And Nintendo tends to focus on the child demographic, you know, the younger set. And discs getting scratched become unusable faster with that tightly packed amount of data. And, well, are kids well known for handling their discs extra carefully?
I don't know about you guys.
The Project Cafe is also rumored to be backwards compatible with the Wii, which would not surprise me. Wii was backwards compatible with the GameCube. Nintendo's always been big on backwards compatibility because it expands the library at launch.
Sony could learn from them.
Yes, I would actually, and I can't prove this, but I would bet you whatever is next for the Xbox or the PlayStation 3 will be backwards compatible with the Xbox and the PlayStation 3. You know, whatever respective console advances are.
Nintendo has also confirmed a release date of fall 2012.
I'll believe it when I see it.
That's really not that far away.
No,
not really. I mean, the fact that they're going to show it at E3 means it has been in development for a while.
Well, obviously.
Well, yeah, like when did the current generation of consoles even come out? It was a few years ago.
2006.
2005.
So. It was 6.
PlayStation 3 was 2006. Xbox
Wii
was
in the fall of 2006.
So basically 5-6 years ago.
Yeah.
This is standard for console development.
So it's about time for, you know, considering
Except
the
Sony
cycle.
Says they're getting 10 years out of the PlayStation 3.
You know, I do, because for one, the PlayStation 3 hasn't even reached its top capabilities yet.
I don't know about that. I mean, it has a more powerful processor than the 360, but the 360 has a more powerful graphics card.
PlayStation has the highest level of graphics
card. And neither of them are as powerful as John's computer.
No, it doesn't. I'm telling you, without a doubt. It doesn't.
Right, let's not get into it.
But
this isn't the place for a hardware war.
Yeah, that's...
That's why I said neither of them are as powerful as John's computer. So it doesn't matter. John wins.
That was a given.
PC is better.
But the whole problem that the big developers that are trying to get content running on both consoles is not the graphics card. It's not the CPU. It's memory. And so I wonder if the next consoles are going to be more of like an evolution instead of a revolution, which... if you remember, that's what the Wii was called at one time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I first heard the name Wii, I was like, why?
Do you know how many bad jokes came out of that? No, don't say anything more, please.
How many bad jokes still come out of that?
Yeah, that's why I said don't say anymore.
Problem is you can't really make it. Like, you know, most of my friends who have Wiis, are, you know, they have kids, so I can't make the jokes. Oh, you're playing with your Wii.
Why?
So, moving on to another fun topic, Portal 2.
I love Portal 2.
The game that, you know, ushered in the PlayStation Network outage.
Yeah, it's Gladys' fault.
Ushered in the outage. That's cool.
Yeah, Gladys was so mad at us that she crashed the PSN.
You know, that really, it's got to be a slap across the face because Valve was so busy slapping Microsoft across the face by saying that their best of the consoles, the best console for Portal 2 was going to be the PlayStation 3, and then the day after Portal 2 comes out, PlayStation Network goes down.
I'd like to thank everyone at Sony for being so generous and for not punching me in the face. If I seem a little nervous, it's because Kevin Butler was introduced to me backstage as the VP of sharpening things.
So Portal 2
spoiler
is awesome.
Yes, we should put up a spoiler warning just in case.
Yeah.
I don't want to get too spoilery, but what I want to talk about is that I had serious doubts about the fun of the co-op, and playing co-op with David was incredibly fun. Lots of laugh out loud moments.
It was. Oh my God, that was amazing.
To the commentary. Valve got everything down to a science. They said, we need this long a pause between you dying and GLaDOS talking about it for you to talk to your partner about it.
There are some of those co-op maps that, I mean, you think the single-player maps are devious? You get in those co-op maps where then you're working with two sets of portals, it gets pretty damn insane. Yeah,
but really it sure does bring out hilarious...
It was just amazing. I loved it.
There's no quicker way to make a friend.
I got to say, I got to tell this story. I was playing with Sean the other day, and I forget which room it was, but it was that one where you have to take the red goop and run down the hallway and launch yourself halfway across the room into another portal. Mm-hmm. So I did that. I run, I launch into the air, I grab the cube that you have to catch midair, I go into the portal, and I bounce backwards, and I don't think I'm going to bounce backwards, and I go, oh, I'm flying backwards! And he just kind of pauses like, what? You know? But it was so spontaneously random, it was great. That room was interesting.
Spontaneously random, as opposed to, you know,
we had one
random. Not spontaneously random.
We had one where they had gamed it. It took us a while to figure it out, but there's an obstacle. If you were to put a portal on a certain surface, you'll hit the obstacle above you. But if you have another portal on another horizontal surface that you come out of, you'll still come up the same distance you should. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we had me bouncing between two portals, you know, vertically on a through a horizontal surface, and I'm just kind of like, okay, what now? And then I don't know what Dalkin did or how he figured it out, but next thing I know, the cube is in there with me. Like, oh, there's the cube I need.
What I did, it took some timing. I had to sit there for a minute and kind of see the timing for you bouncing out of the portals. And because that cube, you know, drops out of the chute, I had to pop the cube out just the right time that it would fall out. I could shoot the portal so it would come out right behind you and then put the portal back before you came out so that you wouldn't like run into the...
It was beginner's luck. We had trouble doing it the second time.
So we all agree that the co-op mode is just a boatload of fun.
Oh, what do we all really think of a
single-player campaign?
It's hard to play with somebody who hasn't played it before because, like, I already know the solutions to most of the puzzles. A couple of them are devious enough that, like, you won't remember them the second time around.
Yeah.
But
multiple ways to solve them. Like,
yeah, but after you... It's sort of like, you know, when you walk into a room and you've never seen the room before, you have to kind of take it in. Whereas you walk in the room after you've played it, I'm like, okay, this is the room with the four points. We have to both put our portals here and there. And
yeah.
But one of the most fun things that happens is when you throw a portal and it's the wrong portal. Suddenly somebody who's falling down lands on solid ground. I'm like, whoops.
Did that plenty of times. Yeah.
So what did we all think of the single player game?
Loved it.
Oh, amazing.
I mean,
there is I don't want to be spoilery, but the beginning of the game, you're like, I'm like, what is this?
No, I really don't want to worry about being spoilery. Can we just put up a spoiler warning?
Yeah. If you want to know what happened between Portal 1 and Portal 2, read the Lab Rat comic. It's included in the extras section of the game.
I loved that too.
Well, it isn't so much. I can be non-spoilery. My whole point, and I told Tim this when I got it for him, that. The beginning starts out looking awfully bland. I'm like, stick with it. It very quickly is not.
Oh, I know. When you first, like, when you re-encounter, it is really bland in the beginning, but when you finally get past that stage and you actually get to where Gladys is...
Really impressed with a lot of the scenery, the set pieces.
Not
just the puzzles and everything, but, as an example, there are a couple scenes where massive objects move and then suddenly they are objects you can now walk in.
Mm-hmm.
Or you walk into a room and like a wall kind of rearranges and straightens it out for you and then it becomes
loved how just
the facility
for lack of a better term organic that's a better term. I was gonna say
it
dynamic
feels like the facility
but
is a moving thing not just
how organic
really...
the game is as far as the environment is very much, it's not static.
And we've all seen the Cave Johnson videos, so we can talk about Cave Johnson. So I have to say that, you know, when they cast J. Jonah Jameson from the Spider-Man movies as Cave Johnson.
Perfect.
It really was.
It was a really show-stopping performance.
You, desk, box, door, car, get out of here.
Why don't you invent a special safety door that doesn't hit you on the butt out on your way out because you are fired? Not you, test subject. You're doing fine. Yes, you. Box your stuff.
Parking lot. Now.
I couldn't believe how good the dialogue was in just those few short little moments. I mean, it's like, wow, in 35 seconds. Well, that's a little too long. In like 5 seconds, I just got probably the funniest piece of dialogue I've heard in the last 15
years. You know, I had one time that I completed a puzzle.
The acting and everything, you know, all came together just perfectly. You know, there was
really did. And we got potato, too. We got a potato.
Well, there was one section where I cut off the potato's dialogue. And I was like, no! Now I've got to go back. But she started talking just as soon as I closed the elevator.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, you can't do that to me.
Yes, so, she can.
I still haven't gotten to do the final commentary thing, but I'll have to use NoClip to get it because as soon as you get near it, you're blown out of the room. But I've done all the commentary aside from that. I was the one thing I was hoping they would have is the lady who did the voice of GLaDOS and subsequently also did all the turrets.
Oh, Ellen.
I liked hearing her in the previous game.
Yeah, that was fun. That was nice.
Also for Portal 2, Valve has announced that this summer there's going to be a free expansion, similar to how they did for Left 4 Dead and Left 4 Dead 2. And that'll be coming this summer. So we have that to look forward to.
Yes,
I hope it's like a bunch more co-op.
Much more co-op, hopefully. And also the Portal 2 authoring kit. So, like, the source development kit for Portal 2, specifically, has been released. It is currently in beta. So I guess it hasn't really been released, but you can still use it. It's in beta right now, so if you're an aspiring level designer, get on that, because we need more test chambers.
Yes, more testing.
Never stockpile them.
We need
We've
more
got hundreds of
yesterday.
Humans that need to be manipulated, mutilated, killed, and who knows what else.
For science.
For science. Think of all the testing.
Speaking of modding, id's new intellectual property, Rage, is going to be shipping with all the authoring tools you need.
Fun.
Interesting.
Do we know anything about Rage's multiplayer? Yeah,
I have no idea, actually. I haven't really heard anything about
Rage.
Not a
clue.
Because I know the game is going to have car or vehicles in it, so I'm assuming the multiplayer will as well. Is that a good assumption, you think?
I suppose.
I think Rage is a nice departure.
So, anyway.
For id, because, you know, a lot of their stuff has been kind of indoors, and so Rage is outdoors.
Yeah. And
indoors.
In addition, Rage is also shipping with the newest build of id's own game engine, id Tech 5.
And it looks gorgeous.
September 13th, and it...
Gorgeous?
It has this...
Gorgeous. That's a real word, because I just made it up.
Right on.
It has this sort of post-apocalyptic look to it, kind of like Borderlands.
Yeah, that's the only thing is that they show you in some of the videos walking around a town, and it's like, this is kind of Borderlands-ish. But the one thing that I've said a couple of times when I've been playing Borderlands with Wing is that I feel like Borderlands lends itself to a whole lot more story that they don't bother telling you.
Yeah.
Like it's sort of like another game franchise I could mention, that, you know, the environments have a whole lot of history and personality in them. But they don't kind of jump out and tell you that story.
No, yeah, they don't.
The best kind of story is the kind you have to discover for yourself.
Exactly. Yeah.
But, you know,
then it feels more rewarding when you do.
There's so much. I hate being pampered by things that do things like, you know, the inside baseball type of story on things. Because then I get this perspective. I'm like, I wonder what is the story behind that. You know, you'll find some strange story in the news and like, there's more to this picture. And I want to know what the rest of it is. But I'll never know. So. I'm just wasting my own time thinking about it.
If you knew everything, what would be the point?
Well, I'm sure
it
I'd never know.
It is kind of interesting that Rage is being shipped with its own SDK on day one. Usually, companies will release the game, wait a couple of months, and then release the SDK. But then again, this is coming from id Software. Now, Carmack has always been big on releasing the source code for things. So, like a year after a game is released, he tends to get id to release the source code for it. So, coming from id, this isn't all as much surprising as it might be.
How long do you think it would be before the id Tech 5 is available for everybody?
Well, it's a brand new build of the engine, so they might wait a little longer before releasing it. Just, you know, in case people want to license it.
They probably had to figure out how to jump through some hoops to get it to play ball, you know, on all three platforms, PC, Xbox, and PlayStation 3.
Yeah, because it's released on different... September 13th for all the platforms.
Well, from what I hear from developers, doing PC and Xbox is easy. It's the PlayStation 3 that adds a different approach into the mix.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
Yeah. The XNA Xbox stuff is DirectX in another name, essentially. I'm looking forward to Rage. But it's not, you know, my focus right now. But everything I see of it always looks impressive.
Well,
just,
what are you looking forward to? What is your focus then?
Good question.
It was Brink.
Oh, boy. Don't,
but that flopped.
Let's not get started on Brink.
Yes.
I think everyone agrees that it's a flop.
It's a flop. And if you want to complain about it, do it in a blog. But don't.
I mean, it's not a bad idea. I mean, Brink, the ideas... Weren't, that they threw in there were not bad, but it's not a good.
I loved
good.
The previews for it, but I haven't actually played it myself since John warned me of the
impending doom.
Yes,
I mean the reviews are all over the map. Some of them are 9 out of 10, which I wonder if those are paid off because they're not a review site that I know of. And then other ones like, you know, Joystick and IGN are giving it D's and 6 out of 10 kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
The kind of thing you would buy from a bargain bin, essentially.
But it is a good question. What is everyone looking forward to?
Zelda. Twilight Princess is out.
Skyward Sword.
Wow.
Skyward Sword.
Yes, Skyward Sword. I'm very much.
I can't wait to play that one either. Actually,
when is that out anyway?
It should be coming out before too long. Miyamoto did say it was coming out in 2011.
So sometime within the next 6-7 months.
Speaking of games that have been, you know, delayed, you know, the one that's kind of bugging me is that the one for the PlayStation 3, The Last Guardian.
Oh, I know. That looks amazing.
Every time they delay it, it's like another year. Like, What is this? Can't you just do a couple more months and be done?
Well, frankly, I want them to do what they need to do make it a good...
It's the same problem I have with BioShock Infinite. I am glad it's coming out. I'm glad they're working on a BioShock game. I did not need to know, like, a year and 6 months before the game's coming out that it's coming out.
Well,
I don't need that much wind-up time.
Well, that's the problem with a lot of developers. I mean, okay, this is probably not the best example, but look at Final Fantasy. How many years was it announced, and how many years did it take to come out? I mean...
Which one?
13. Wow, I didn't
Who
even
cares see about 13? I thought...
I know. That game... You know, they built that up so much, and then it just was the biggest flop. It made 12 look like a decent game, but...
Wasn't there a developer in Japan who, like, quit working on games because he says that the game industry is dying right now?
Well, he's partially correct, but that's a discussion for another time.
But I can see the factors that are causing it. I mean, these AAA titles are costing more and more to make,
mm-hmm.
and the companies don't want to release anything that isn't a known good quantity in a known good AAA franchise. Well,
that's the problem.
Like, you know, people are talking about the next Call of Duty, and I was like, I have no interest in a Call of Duty not made by Infinity Ward. I don't care if you call it Infinity Ward. The people behind Infinity Ward are gone,
mm-hmm.
in which case, I don't care about what you're making.
Well, yeah, but, see, that's...
But all the sheeple are not going to know that stuff, and they're going to...
Sheeple.
Sheeple.
Well, and the sad thing is, you know, the classics often end up being, you know, the ones that come out of nowhere that no one's even heard of. Take Portal, for example. It was the underdog of the orange box. Like, no one was expecting it to really, you know...
It was a stocking stuffer. It was a college game.
Yeah.
It was a student project. That was it.
Yeah, from they were from the DigiPen Institute.
Yeah, it was based on their senior project, their ocular drop.
You know, Valve basically said, oh, well, this seems like a neat idea. We'll throw it in with these other ones.
And it exploded.
Yeah, basically.
Exploded like a kilogram of uranium.
And it wasn't a AAA title.
Inside of a cake.
Gosh.
Don't mention the cake, please. I've had enough cake.
Cake I just wonder. Pot. I wonder what the cost differential is between space. Portal 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't know.
I have no idea.
Think it was a major difference. I mean.
But that was one of those points that Zero Punctuation made about Portal 2 is awesome, and if it were, you know, the first of its kind, he'd be drooling all over it, but it's not Portal.
For in any other position, it would be accumulated enough saliva for me to run all the household plumbing for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, that. Well, in any case, I can see how Portal 2 does have some... It's distilled a little bit from Portal 1, because Portal 1, there are puzzles that, you know the solution, but it's difficult actually executing it, and they added some features into Portal 2 to make it easier, like the funneling. You know what the funneling is?
Yeah, the
that's been there since Portal 1, actually.
Well, they mentioned it about in development for the Portal 2. It was in
the excursion
commentary.
Funnel.
Oh, the excursion funnel.
No, the funneling that like if you're headed towards a portal.
Oh, you mean the
tend to go through the portal?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah,
I thought you meant the excursion funnels, not
which
the funneling.
Might have been a nod towards the the console gamers, but I hear these people talk on the forums about how their 10-year-old son plays, with an Xbox 360 controller, and he puts it on a game on the PC that supports the controller, plugs the controller, and the kid starts owning everyone in multiplayer.
Nice.
I don't think that they have to nerf it that much for the console players anymore. They're getting used to it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just a sad state of affairs. I can't believe anyone's that good with those analog sticks. It makes me sick.
Yes, but precise.
I'm much better with a mouse and a keyboard. Yeah. I grew up on a mouse and a keyboard. Really... That's my element.
Yeah, but you're just getting old, David. You see, that's, next
I
thing
am
you know,
really looking forward
these
to
kids and their holographic interfaces.
I want a holographic interface. That would be amazing.
It would, but we're not going to get there for at least 40 years.
These kids and their thought projections.
Duke Nukem Forever is what I'm looking forward to mostly. I really, really loved Duke Nukem 3D, and from what we've seen of Duke Nukem Forever so far, it's looking to be more of the same, which is just silly fun.
I like silly fun.
I mean, in the trailer, you have Duke punching an alien in the nads. How do you not want to play that?
When Bulletstorm, I thought Bulletstorm was supposed to be, was like Epic's answer to Duke Nukem.
I think they didn't go quite far over the top enough to loop back around to funny.
Well, they had the achievements were named a certain way, but the animations weren't as interesting. Like, you can shoot a guy through the neck, and then he's like, you know, fun
stuff. Another interesting thing about Bulletstorm, though, one of the unlockable skins for one of the guns is a picture of boobs on fire.
Okay.
In one of Epic's, Epic's previous titles, I don't
not
remember
Epic,
what it is.
But People Can Fly. It's called Painkiller. Yeah, zero punctuation said the only thing that would hit the gun. Yeah.
It shoots shurikens and lightning. I wish I could make something like that up. It shoots shurikens and lightning. The only thing way it could be more awesome was if it had tits and was on fire. Now there's a gun that has tits and is on fire.
That is disgusting. Oh, gosh.
Hey, but at least they can take a joke.
I think the weakness of that game was that the enemies were so scripted. That's what, you know, you get all these different kinds of achievements, but some of the things are kind of set up to sort of, you know, hand you the achievement without you really having to try.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just kind of like giving the enemy AI and letting them come up from wherever, and then you can kind of figure it out from there.
I think every game has achievements that are like that, though, even if not all of them are like that. You know, I mean, there's some that you get achievements just from playing the game and just kind of hands them over to you.
Dalkin, I have the best achievement that you and I have to do in Borderlands.
Yeah?
I just discovered it randomly from Wing. He meleeed me in Borderlands. And it says, Wing demands satisfaction. That's why I meleeed him back. And my character says, and you shall have it. And then we're in a duel.
You didn't know about the duel function?
I didn't know about the duel function.
How could you not know about the duel function?
Well, I've always done PvP in the PvP areas.
No, you can do it anywhere.
I didn't know that. So I need to, like, get you into Borderlands, David, so I can, you know, demand satisfaction.
Okay. That sounds so wrong.
He's over 18.
Okay.
So, David, what are you looking forward to?
Well, I was looking forward to Tor, but the more I see about it, the less excited I get about it. Because space is now going to be basically on a rail. The animations are less than appealing, and I was kind of hoping after seeing the alpha pictures that, you know, the graphics would, you know, improve after they got out of alpha, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the models still look like they're
plastic.
Like action figures. Like, well, something that would come out of WoW.
It's you know how they say with Borderlands, it's like if a FPS and RPG had a baby. Well, I would say this is like if you know, The Force Unleashed and World of Warcraft had a baby, and the World of Warcraft had all the dominant genes.
That sounds so funny.
Our games are mating.
Rule 34 much?
Okay, I kind of have to agree with Dalkin on this.
There are some things that still have me watching the game, though. I mean, primarily the fact that they're putting so much effort into the story and everything, but at the same time, kind of making it look like a massively single-player game. But they do have that,
which I'm cool with. I'm cool with massively single player.
Yeah, well, you know, that doesn't really bother me so much either. But, you know, it's kind of like something where I'd pay the subscription long enough to play through the story, and then if there's not really much else to hold my interest, then I'd be done.
80 million, there better be a lot of story.
I hope so.
I kind of wonder, do we actually know what phase of the game it's in? I mean, David,
it's closed beta.
They're saying it's not. It may not be out this year. And they're saying the actual expenditure may come close to $150 million.
Mm.
EA really wants a piece of Activision, and it's just getting sad.
But another thing I'm looking forward to, as far as something that is not really huge, but it just seems kind of fun, is the multiplayer chat functions for the actual, like, voiced over conversations, like multiplayer conversations. So you'll have, like, your party of people, you're talking to the NPCs, and more than one person in the group actually contributes to the conversation.
I saw that. That was definitely a step up, in my opinion.
Yeah, so I thought that was neat. I mean, you know, not exactly...
Multiplayer conversation trees.
Yes, so not exactly
a sole reason why I
pick up the game, but if that was like the only thing that appealed to me, I wouldn't pick up the game, but I thought it was neat.
But it leaves a lot of openings for, you know, online griefing. Just what I always hate about MMOs.
Yeah, I don't know, because I mean, it seems, because it's conversation trees, it seems a little too restricted to be able to really grief anyone with that.
You so underestimate the power of griefers. But, you know, one thing that occurs to me, like, in the Star Wars universe, limbs are easily replaceable. Why can't we cut them off?
Anyway, they can.
Look, you know, that whole thing is, it's not so easy to animate someone's arm falling off and blood gushing out, believe me. That's a very complex type of deal. And
they have $80 million.
Yeah, well, I can imagine that
$80 million and all of the race options are near human. Like, you don't get to play like a Wookiee or a Rodian or something. They all have human type faces and everything. It's really saddening.
I'm not going to argue with you, but remember, this is BioWare's first dive into the MMO genre.
And they're spending $80 million on it.
Maybe it's
possibly more.
Yes, but the point is that, well, they may be good at the other games they make, but this is an entirely different monster, so...
And they're spending that much money on it, so they could, you know... They also do have people on the team that have experience with other MMOs, including people from Star Wars Galaxies.
Oh, dear.
Among other things. And not the ones that made the horrible decisions like the NGE, mind you.
Well, that's good.
So my last hope for this year is going to be the, now that I've been corrected because I can't say it right, Deus Ex Human Revolution.
Deus Ex.
The only thing...
It's Deus. It's Greek.
I'm just saying it to annoy Wing at this point.
The only thing is I hope there's actually some color in the game because everything's brown.
It is.
Huge.
Yeah, so everything's like brownish, orange, everything.
So it's sepia?
Sepia would be more brown.
Well, you said it's brown.
But I qualified it with orange.
Well, you only said that like once, so you said like brown like six times.
Yeah, well,
so.
If you would stop interrupting me, you'd actually hear the whole point. You see this for a block of text, you see I'd be in the first third, in which case there's much more to be said. In any case, it looks like a game that's going
to
have a lot of...
I can interrupt you if I want to, because...
Yeah,
I interrupt him plenty of times.
Okay, go
ahead. Chad, you stay out of this spat. If you don't think I can bring it.
You're too fabulous, Chad, to get in on this manly discussion.
I'm actually kind of happy that, you know, budgetarily, that I have to wait until August because right now I'm saving up. But I'm glad there's no games right now that they're calling to me, except maybe L.A. Noire, but it's only on the consoles, so I have that limiting factor that might keep me away from it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's it.
Yep, sounds like it.
Welcome.
Much.
David.
Right. For Over the Fence, this has been David Natural, John.
Bye.
Chad.
Farewell.
And Wing.
Space!
I mean space.
Gotta space. See it all.
But
good night.
Farewell. Guilty of not being in space.
Anyway,
yeah, that's why I have wolf posters in my room.
Well, David, you are a wolf.
I always thought Dave was more like a fish, like a puffer fish, you know, for explosions.
Oh, this is bullshit.
Dalkin, I mean this with no disrespect, but...
Yeah, you do.
A boy.
I can't get enough of Steve, personally.
Hey-o!
Or Steve's midget.
Hey-o! This is like two brick walls arguing over who is the brickiest.
I didn't know Portal was going to have modding tools.
Of course it is. It's got the Source Engine. Duh. podcasts where gamers of the adventurous persuasion.
Oh, God.
Maybe we should get Chad to, like, do the whole monologue. You probably couldn't keep a straight face for it, you know. I clean up with the bullet points, and it's fabulous.
I'm serious. Don't do that.
Okay, guys, we're going to talk about
I tried.
You got to do a higher pitch voice. Okay,
hey guys. Hey, guys.
We're going to catch so much flack for that.
You know what's funny about that is, like, we all have our own rendition, which means that at some point we've practiced it.
Yeah, that's a scary one.
I'm not really sure how to do that.
Great. You can take us out, but he can't bring us back in. What kind of a pilot are you?
It's going to be fun. There's actually going to be outtakes right in the middle there.
Oh my gosh. I can't wait to hear it.